Hello and welcome to another Texans Talk podcast. I'm your host for the week, Anthony Wood, and with me once again is the general himself, Mr. John McClain. John, thank you very much for joining us. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Anthony. It's my pleasure. Always a lot of fun to go on with you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, and let's kick things off by jumping into the deep end, as it were. I'd like to stay in the AFC South, but just stray towards Jacksonville for a moment, if I may, where a storm has been brewing for some time now, as you well know. Today, things seem to come to somewhat of a loggerheads between Yannick Ngakoue, defensive end, and Tony Khan of the Jags. Ngakoue tweeted saying, "Tired of this back and forth, Jaguars, let's get this done." I'm paraphrasing a little there, leaving out some of the swear words. He put out the hashtag #FreeYan along with calling out Mr. Khan and everything, culminating in somewhat of a Twitter tirade. First of all, how do you think this will affect his trade stock and just the eventual destination?
I think it depends on what they're asking. They're supposedly asking for a number one and more because Ngakoue is a really good pass rusher, not a great pass rusher, but really good. You know, a lot of other guys have talked their ways out of teams, and teams don't hold it against them. And I don't think they will. The problem is he's aiming it at the wrong person. Shad Khan, Tony's dad, is the owner. He runs the show ultimately, but Dave Caldwell, the GM, and Doug Marrone, the coach, make the calls. Tony, who has grown up in the organization at different parts, including in the cap and marketing, but he doesn't make those trades. So I guess he figures if he attacks the son, it might help the dad tell them to move him, but they're not going to give him away, of course.
Certainly. And do you think there's any chance that, and obviously it's an in division rival, but is there any chance that Trader Bill's licking his lips at the prospects of this, or do you think Houston's certainly not a destination for him?
Absolutely not. No way. Not Ngakoue is coming to the Texans.
Oh, it was always worth hoping, I suppose. But moving ahead, obviously, draft beginning this Thursday, do you have any inclinations as to how the Texans are feeling as it draws closer, both in their plan laying out in terms of prospects and the technology behind everything?
Well, the technology is not that big a deal. They've had a mock draft to iron out the kinks, and the teams were told by the league who they were going to take in as mock draft, because there were actually nincompoops out there who thought a team might take a player and go, oh, they're giving something away about who they like they're morons. And so, how hard is it? The way it's been done in the past is you work at your draft headquarters, which is your stadium or your facility, wherever your facility is. You got the head coach, you got the general manager, and then some teams have a bunch of people in one room, like the Dallas Cowboys. Some have a few in one room and others in an outer room. And you got everybody right there to talk to. And then when the pick is made, they are on a phone, a landline, and they call to their table in New York or Chicago or Philadelphia or Nashville or Las Vegas. In this case, they're calling to somebody in New York, and they're saying, okay, we'll take so-and-so, or we've made a trade. How hard is that? And so this time, they'll just make the call themselves instead of calling some friend or relative who's manning the team's table at the draft and have them walk up and hand it to the league. So if there are glitches, they've got backup plans. That's why they've all got landlines. They've got multiple computers. They've got FaceTime. They've got Zoom. They've got what's the other one? Discord, Accord. I can't remember what they told me. There's plenty of possibilities, but I think it'll all come out relatively smooth. And one thing I like, Anthony, is if they're working on a trade and they need a couple extra minutes, they're not going to bypass them to go to the next team. I remember 1988, the Oilers were on the clock, Cleveland Browns behind them, and one of their AFC Central rivals, the Oilers' time expired. So the team behind them immediately made their pick. They picked an outside linebacker. I can't remember his last name was Charlton. And then so the Oilers then picked running back Lorenzo White, and the Browns acted like they got up on him because the Oilers wanted Charlton, which was never the case. And there was one time a famous situation in Tampa. The person got the names messed up and handed in the wrong card on the offensive lineman they wanted, and they accidentally put Penn State guard Sean Farrell, who ended up starting for them for years and making several Pro Bowls. But you don't see many glitches, and I don't think you will on this one either.
And absolutely, and I guess the Texans have one advantage in that they're obviously not picking until day two. Get day one out of the way, get them a chance to work out any potential kinks. But do you think there's any chance we could see the Texans on day one at all?
There's always a chance. I mean, Trader Bill, you know it's going to be hard for him to sit on his hands. And I'm sure that when the time comes, that say they're down to 25-30, or say 25-32, and a player that they love, that they thought was going to be taken higher, is still there. He's fallen. Now, if he had a number one or two pick next year, maybe he could do it. Now, he could go into 2022. He may not be here in 2022 and trade back into the first round. But I don't think that's going to happen. And the reason is they have so many needs, and they're all on defense. They need a pass rushing interior lineman. They need a safety, and they need a cornerback. Aaron Wilson from the Chronicle and I picked a mock draft today with all of the Texans' picks. We both mocked seven players in seven rounds, and my first three were defensive lineman, a safety, and a corner. And as I wrote Sunday in my column on TexasSportsNation.com, our sports website, I expect Trader Bill to deal down because there's going to be somebody that they like at those three positions. All of those are deep, especially safety and corner. But I think there's five defensive tackles behind the two best, Derek Brown and Javon Kinlaw, who should be top 15 picks. Then as you get down after that, there's about five more. And I heard Bill Polian, the Hall of Fame general manager, on ESPN a couple of weeks ago, talking about the significance of having an interior pass rusher, because guys like to take a quick drop, get rid of the ball, and if you've got somebody to push the pocket, that makes all the difference. Texans have a lot of options for rushing the passer right now. J.J. Watt, Whitney Merciless, Jacob Martin, Duke Ejiofor, Charles Omenihu, all those guys, but they're all outside guys. Now, they can move Watt inside, they can move Omenihu outside, and Merciless and Martin rushing outside. I mean, they could move them outside and have the Merciless and Martin on the outside, and that would give them four formidable pass rushers. But I still think they want somebody else. The more they keep J.J. Watt outside, the better they have extending his career, because when he goes inside, he's getting hit from every angle. And he's already turned 31 last month, and they want him to play as long as he can. They need him to have Calais Campbell durability, still going strong at 35. So that's why I think they need that position. But I also think safety is a big need. And this is something, Anthony, I wrote about this Sunday. When Bill O'Brien did his conference call with the media on Zoom on Thursday, he talked for 53 minutes. We asked him every question we could think of. And he was talking about needs in the secondary, but he was talking about all the players they have coming back. And he mentioned every player, corner and safety, except one, Tashaun Gibson Sr., starting safety, who missed the two playoff games with a transverse process injury in his lower back. And Gibson will be 30. He's in his ninth year. So remember in 2018, they didn't have picks in the first two rounds. Justin Reed was going in the second round. Everybody thought so. When it came their time in the third round, they didn't hesitate to take him. Turned out to be a great pick. I think they would love to have another guy like him, like Ashton Davis from Cal. If they got Ashton Davis to pair with Justin Reed, they shouldn't have to worry about safety for five or six more years. So I think that's definitely a possibility. It just depends on who they get. And then my third pick, which would be the fourth rounder, I have them taking a corner.
Absolutely, and I've got your list here. You obviously Marlon Davidson, defensive tackle, second round. Ashton Davis, you mentioned obviously at 90, 111. Bryce Hall, who I think is one of my favourite picks as well, I must admit. Tyree Phillips, offensive lineman, fifth, and then Quez Watkins, Bravion Roy, receiver, nose tackle, respectively, and Patrick Taylor in the seventh. It's hard to disagree with any of that, to be perfectly honest with you, because I think it's safe to say that would certainly fill Houston's needs at this point in time. Again, Bryce Hall is one of those players that's really stood out for me this last couple of years. Ashton Davis, you mentioned there at safety. I know another safety they've been speaking to is Alohi Gilman over at Notre Dame. Have you got any thoughts on him or how the Texans perhaps view him as a prospect as well?
They've talked to 115 players, going back to the Senior Bowl, the combine, the video conferencing, the phone calls. So they've talked to 115. They're going to draft seven. And I think that O'Brien will trade down, pick up another pick or two. I also think he'll try to trade picks for next year. He doesn't have a one or two. He's got an extra four. I could see him trying to get a three next year. But like you mentioned Bryce Hall, I have Bryce Hall going in the fourth round. Bryce Hall of Virginia would have been a second-round pick, but six games into the season, he suffered a season-ending ankle injury. He couldn't work out, participate in All-Star games, couldn't work out the combine. So he hadn't been able to show anybody what he can do since he got hurt in the sixth game. So I still don't think, even though he's going to be healthy by the season, by whenever they report, and we don't know when that's going to be, but he's supposed to make 100% recovery. I think if a guy like that were to slide because of the injury and because people don't have a full last year's game tape on him and they have to go back to the year before, I think if he could slip, they'd be all over him. They don't have to have him right away, even though, and you give him plenty of time to get healthy. Just like, we'll go over all of them. Tyree Phillips played tackle guard at Mississippi State. I think they would love to have a guy who played tackle who could eventually be the swing tackle over Roderick Johnson, but also eventually might be able to play right guard in place of Zach Fulton. Fulton's been the starter the last 2 years. He was rotated at the end of last season. That tells me he was either hurt or they don't have a whole lot of confidence in him. So I think a guy like Phillip, who played tackle and guard, might be ideal for a fifth-round pick. And then I believe they're going to draft another receiver, even though they traded for Brandon Cooks and signed Randall Cobb to go with Will Fuller and Kenny Stills. But we know about those guys' injury history. So I remember Quez Watkins from the combine. He ran a 4.35. So say they got him, and whenever he was developed, maybe he starts on the practice squad, and say you wanted to put him on the field, and so you had Fuller, Cooks, Watkins, and Stills, all of whom ran 4.38 to 4.32 at their combines. So you'd have four wideouts on the field who ran in the 4.3s coming out of college. So I could see him or another receiver like that. 7B, they got to have a nose tackle. And Bravion Roy from Baylor, I saw almost every game he played. He stayed through his senior year. Last year, Baylor had the best defensive line in the Big 12. He was a big reason in the middle. He played tackle. He could play nose tackle. He's 6'1". Baylor listed him like 330. There were times I thought he hadn't been 330 since junior high. He was a load. But he works hard, he's quick, and he gets leverage. And a guy like that coming in the seventh round, they could put him on the practice squad, let him develop behind Brandon Dunn. And then the other one, and I thought this was interesting because it's the only two players that Aaron Wilson and I pick in this draft who were the same. And he's a running back in the seventh round, Patrick Taylor from Memphis, who's from Houston. I think that with David Johnson and Duke Johnson, they're definitely the first two. They're both great receivers. David Johnson missed three games last year with an injury, but because you don't want to have to rely on Duke Johnson as your man, I think they're going to draft a guy low, and I think they're going to sign a veteran. After the draft, Anthony, there's so many free agents out there who are going to get the minimum or close to it, and the veterans. And they don't count toward the compensatory formula for 2021. That's why you see teams have not signed a lot of them. So I think they'll have another back. because I don't believe they want to promote Buddy Howe into the starting lineup if David Johnson gets hurt. Carlos Hyde was durable. You know, he had the best season of his career and his only season there. Priced himself out of the market, which is really stupid because he still hasn't signed. He's not going to get anywhere near what he was offered. 2 years, $10 million. He's not going to get anything close to that. He got bad advice, or he was too hard-headed. And I wish Carlos had been back. I liked him a lot. But they still have to have a guy who they think David Johnson misses two or three games. They have to have another back they can plug in and go with Duke Johnson. And I think that's going to be a veteran. But I also think they'll take a young guy and put him on a practice squad.
Do you think, you mentioned Carlos Hyde there, do you think there's any chance the Texans can get a cut-price deal with him now after the draft?
No, he's history. You know, once you move on, you know, they tried to sign him to an extension during the season. He turned him down. They tried when free agency began, he turned him down. And I don't understand it. So 2 years, $10 million, he's not going to get that. I'm guessing he'll have to sign a one-year deal for a couple of million and then do it all over again. He's going to be 30 years old. So I think he made an egregious error.
I'd have to completely agree with you there. And I'm glad you mentioned O'Brien's press conference the other day. It was really interesting to listen to him. One of the things I found particularly interesting is that he seemed to make a point to mention Kiki QT in that mix as well for receiver. Do you think it says a lot that he's actively bringing up QT given how poor his year was last year in that perhaps he is in their plans moving forward? Or is it more of a perhaps building him up to give him a chance elsewhere?
I think, no, Kiki QT is going to have a chance to play here. I'll be surprised if he makes the team. He could still go on the practice squad. Problem is, Will Fuller has missed 14 games the last 2 years, five last year, going to last year's contract. Kenny Stills had never had an injury issue, missed three games last year. Brandon Cooks has had some hamstring issues. Randall Cobb has had hamstring issues. Brandon Cook had concussion issues, but Cooks only missed two games last year. But those are your top four receivers. We would be nincompoops if we thought all four of those guys were going to be able to stay healthy. You know, what are the over under on combined games missed by those guys? 20? So you better have other receivers. DeAndre Carter can play inside. Kiki QT can play inside. Carter has the advantage because he's the kickoff and punt returner. But they're not giving up on QT. Two times when he was a rookie, against Indianapolis, once in Indy and once here in the playoff loss, he had double-figure catches and over 100 yards. And so he showed in those games against the Colts he can get open. But the problem last year, he got hurt in preseason, and then during the game at Green Bay, he tweeted what his injury was, which let everybody in the media know what it was. And we were in the press box thinking about it. How much O'Brien was going ballistic when he found out Kiki QT had tweeted about his ankle injury. And then when he eventually came back, he made mistakes in practice. He made a couple mistakes in games, big mistakes, one caused an interception. So he was persona non grata. You know, they like him. He's a good kid. He's quick. He just has got to get it together mentally. And if he does, he'll have a chance to make the team. He was a great kickoff returner at Texas Tech. Like, if you wanted to have a kickoff return as a weapon, you'd put him back there. And if you wanted the punt return to be a weapon, you put Will Fuller back there. Problem is, both those guys would get hurt. They got a lot of guys, Anthony, that have injury issues. And as long as Deshaun Watson's healthy, they're going to be pretty good. I see people predicting they'll go 6-10. I'm saying, no, not with Watson. They've got a better offensive line. They've got a lot of good receivers, even though they let – DeAndre Hopkins go. Now they've got to fortify the defense, and they're going to have to use it in the draft. And I think they'll sign two or three other free agents on defense like they did Tim Jernigan. If Tim Jernigan is the player that he was early in his career with Baltimore and Philadelphia until he started getting hurt the last two seasons, he could be a really good addition. But once again, when a guy gets hurt 1 year, I don't think much about it. But if he's had injuries for 2 years as his career moves on, to me, that's a big red flag.
Absolutely, and I'd completely have to agree with you there. I'm very much looking forward to seeing how much we can preseason of Jernigan and see where he lines up. And and how he can stay healthy, and if he can, because like you said, he's got a fantastic history, but it's a case of can he repeat that moving forward. It's a strange situation the Texans are in, obviously, and this goes around the league at this point in time, given that we don't really know what to expect over the coming couple of months in terms of how much face time these people are going to get together. And with that in mind, something else that O'Brien mentioned was that this is going to be very much a vet's year. Do you see the Texans possibly, you mentioned obviously trading back and possibly trading for next year's picks. Can you see them possibly prioritizing next year's picks rather than this year's in order to focus on free agent vets that they can bring in?
I've been writing about that for about a month, and I'm glad he brought it up, that ordinarily right after draft, there's a rookie minicamp. Then the rookies come in for the organized team activities. Then they have the rest of the veterans minicamp. And the whole time, they're on the field with coaches. They get classroom instruction. They got a virtual room up there where they can put up anything they want and make it look like any alignment for an opponent. They have all kind of things they can do with the coaches coaching them. Rookies are not going to have that. So rookies usually have a hard enough time adjusting to the NFL with all that on-field instruction. Now it's going to be a rookie, say, in his living room if he lives in an apartment, or maybe he's going to go out in some park and put his computer on a picnic table and have a coach yelling at him over the computer, get your butt down, stay low, get that hand up here, get the hand placement there. That's not the same as on the field. And I think we all agree there's not going to be an off-season program on the field. It won't surprise me if there's no training camp or it's moved back and it's about half normal. And then they cut the preseason games in half and reduce regular season to 14 or 12 games. So it just seems like rookies are going to have a harder time adjusting, Anthony, because they don't have the luxury that every other rookie's had. That just seems common sense to me. So if you've got 14 picks like Miami, I wouldn't want 14 rookies in there trying to learn, who I'm counting on, trying to learn on virtual off-season program in which you can't be coached in person. So to make a long story short, I could see O'Brien trading for picks next year and then relying on free agency afterwards.
Absolutely. And given your vast experience, obviously covering the sport, particularly in Houston, can you remember another draft which has garnered this level of interest, I suppose, controversy and confusion to some extent?
Oh, I think there's not going to be any confusion. I think people are going to sit in front of their TVs, and just like all fans do and we do at the team's headquarters, we're watching it on TV instead of being there talking to people in the media and people in the Texans PR department. I'm home watching it. If I want to talk to them, I'll pick up the phone and call them. And so I don't think it's going to be any big deal. I don't think it's going to be a big deal for a team. What you don't want to happen is a team that's perennially bad has some kind of glitch, but I don't see them having a glitch. I mean, a coach could technically, if everything in his house went out, he could run next door and use the next door neighbors. So I don't think we're going to have a problem. The glitch, whatever it was today with Cincinnati and the practice mock draft, took 2 minutes to correct. And I don't think that's too long to ask. I've never seen anything like this. Drafts used to be in regular season. They were 24 rounds, 18 rounds, 16, 12, 10, 8, and then 7. There was no TV for the drafts. So I think this one's going to be the highest rated ever because we're all a captive audience. We're going stir crazy. This gives us live programming. The Michael Jordan, The Last Dance, had a 6.1 rating, higher than all but two NBA games before they had to shut down this season. And by the time it's over, no telling what kind of ratings it's going to have. And I expect the same thing with the draft because it's going to be simulcast ESPN, NFL Network, and ABC. They'll all be carrying it live.
And then finally, to close out, I've got to ask, you mentioned the last dance there. Did you get a chance to watch it? And if so, what was your verdict?
What I was worried about originally, you know, it was supposed to come on later. It was going to be on ESPN Plus, but to take advantage of the pandemic and how we're all staying at home, they moved it up. And what I thought originally was going to be about the last season, The Last Dance, which Phil Jackson, the coach, called it because he'd already been told, this is your last season. I'm still trying to figure out why Michael Jordan and the Bulls gave unprecedented camera access from the time Jordan got there behind the scenes. And I don't, nobody's given a good explanation of that, but ESPN got it, bought it, and it's great. And what I like about it, it's not just about the last season. It goes all the way back to Jordan growing up, Scottie Pippen growing up. It'll get to a lot of players, a lot of controversy. I think it is great. I think it is fascinating, and everybody ought to check it out. You can get the version with cuss words, and you can get the version without. I prefer the cuss words because that's more like a real locker room.
Absolutely, and I must say, I don't know if you saw it earlier, but the Rockets tweeted out a brilliant video where they said, we would have beaten them had we gotten the chance. Do you agree?
That they would have beaten who? The Rockets? If Jordan had been there?
Yeah, the Rockets would have beaten the Bulls that year.
Well, Jordan took off for 2 years. The Rockets won 2 championships. If you say you thought the Bulls would have won, they'll run you out of Houston. But that's a fact. He took off. They won their championships. We'll never know. With Vernon Maxwell harassing Jordan better than anybody in the NBA, they might have actually won those two anyway.
John, it's always an absolute pleasure to speak to you. I can't wait to hear from you after the draft as well and keep up to date with all of your work leading up to it. Where can our listeners find you on social media?
I'm on the Texans. I'm sorry, the Texans. The Chronicle sports website, TexasSportsNation.com. It's $9 a month. You can get everything that goes on Texas Sports Nation. Everything we write in sports goes on there. And it's also, I'm also in the Chronicle, of course. And my Twitter is McLean_on_NFL. Anthony, thank you very much. Enjoy the draft, and I'll talk to you afterwards.
Absolutely. It's always a pleasure, sir. Thank you very much.